Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. We are excited to be back for episode 5.
Yes.
With lovely Kayla from Cuba.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little tired, but I'm happy to be here with y'all. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. We were asking people in the comments just prior to you getting on what was one word that they could sum up how they're feeling. So I'm curious about what that word is for you this morning.
Ooh. that's good. I would say ready.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ready.
I like that. I like that. Mine was hopeful and Nicole's was content.
Content.
Hopeful, so we are ready,
content, and ready. I like it.
We're hopeful, that's ready, and content.
That is a good, a great combination to have.
I love it.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming on, and I want to share with the people that you and I had a conversation, I want to say a couple weeks before the second season of the podcast started, and I was really moved by your experience in Cuba and sort of your vision and some of the things you've just experienced personally. And it really, really inspired me to create the concept for this series. So Kayla, in the conversation I had with her is felt that it was really important to think about, because what you said that really stood out to me was that, you know, like essentially in short, that just because you go to another country doesn't mean it's going to be better. Or that it's going to be magically, like, you know, just amazing, right? And we often feel that
a change of environment
will provide that, and that's just not always.
It'll be better over there.
Right.
And here is whack.
And particularly in this climate, when I know I'm amongst many, many folks who are thinking about making a move, like in a very serious way. And so I thought it would just be really dope to, from there I started thinking about all of the women that I had, women and Wimex that I had built relationships with from around the world just through Instagram. And I thought, man, it would be so dope to just get everybody's perspectives.
I love it.
Put everybody in a group chat and boom. So thank you for that, because you are truly the inspiration for the season. So it's a moment for me to kind of be able to speak to some of those things that first inspired this conversation. But let's maybe begin with you just telling us a little bit about who is Kayla and what is Kayla doing in Cuba?
Who is Kayla? Wow, I haven't answered that question in a while. So I'm a medical student. I'm a fourth year medical student, and I go to the Latin American School of Medicine. I'm originally from California.
What part?
It's funny. Yeah, so I'm originally from Southern California, but I always claim the Bay. It's kind of like what Tupac says. Like, if I had to claim anywhere, it would be Oakland. He said Oakland, but I would say the Bay, because I feel like between San Francisco and Oakland, that's where I really grew up. You know, and really started to learn about what this world is really, you know, what's really happening. And so I always claim the Bay. I have so much love for the Bay. I'm rooting there. So, yeah, but yeah, I'm a medical student. What else? What else you want to know?
Well, maybe you can tell us a little bit about, you know, your wellness journey. And
well, what are you focusing on in med school? What do you want to do with that?
That's fair. Yeah, I'm also a little bit nervous, so forgive me.
You good?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, so so my focus will be OB-GYN. So I'm really into women's health, the health of Black women. Very passionate. I've always been very passionate about that. The area that I grew up in, we had very high teen pregnancy rates, and no one ever gave us, like, a comprehensive health ed class. Definitely. Like, it was just like, wear condoms, say no, or they showed us these pictures of, like, the STIs, and it's like, oh, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. And for some of us, it worked, and others, it did not.
Yeah.
And which, why would it, right? Because it's like, it's including context and, like, actual lived experiences.
Right.
So, that's just kind of what, like, drove me at an early age. I realized, like, wow, there are no black doctors. You know, my doctor growing up, she was great, but I didn't meet a black physician until I was 22.
Yeah.
Is that Cassandra, who is now in the room?
Yes.
Hello, Dr. White.
My mentor.
You know, we love you.
Yes.
Dr. White, yes, I saw her at a conference actually in Oakland, and I was shook because I never seen, you know, a black female, you know, woman physician, let alone just a black physician, and how confident she was, and you know, she was teaching like a surgical workshop and stuff. So wow. I was like stuck, and it was so funny because I was sharing. We were talking about this a couple weeks ago. I was like assisting her, and I was so, like, lost in the moment, and she was like, Dr. Banks. My friend was like, Kayla, who I was there when I was like, oh, yeah. Wow, like, this is so crazy to be able to see yourself in someone else, right, ooh, that you've never seen before.
Right.
And so, yeah, you know, but I also, I grew up in a single-parent home, oldest of four. My mom had us in sets, so me and my first brother were 15 months apart. Then she waited a whole 14 years to start over. So I have a 15-year-old brother and a 13-year-old sister, so they've also played a huge role in kind of like why I've been able to notice kind of what's happening in the community and how, you know, we don't have access to resources. And I just remember when my mom was pregnant, I would go to the appointments with her, and they would never ask her, like, how she was doing. Like, of course, like, oh, how are you? But, you know, oh, your blood pressure's high, so you need to, you know, like, you know, maybe watch what you eat. But it was, and I knew what she was going through, right? But they never went past what was, I guess, surface level. And I noticed, you know, there were no resources for her. There was no, like, community services or anything like that to actually be a support. And so yeah, that's just kind of what sparked, like, okay, there's a need here. And then, you know, as I continued with higher education, I started learning the COIN terms, things like that. And so
yeah, no, that's fantastic. So would you say that that was a catalyst to your decision to go to Cuba?
That's a good question. So originally, Cuba wasn't even the goal. Many of our graduates are actually from the Bay Area, so I was fortunate enough to receive some information early on, but I don't know if you guys know, but in the world of medicine, there's like this myth, if you go to school abroad, you weren't good enough to get into schools in the States. So for a large like part of my pre-med experience, I was like, I'm already black, like I can't have that against me also. And so so I ended up taking a gap year when I graduated from undergrad, and I just started learning more about it. I mean, the curriculum is comprehensive, it's integrative, and it's largely focused around public health. And I just really appreciated how resourceful the Cubans are. And I was just like, I need to be trained under that system. And I mean, even in our first year, we're already interacting with patients. We're made responsible for our own communities and stuff like that. And so I was just like, you know, like, contrary to popular belief, a lot of pre-meds think they don't have a choice. But for me, I'm like, well, I'm going to spend the next 5-6 years of my life here, so I'm going to choose where I'm going to go and receive training. And so then also wanting to learn how to speak Spanish, the curriculum's in Spanish. I was just like, well, I'll be fluent in Spanish. So,
That's great.
Yeah, and then the icing on the cake was it's a scholarship. So
oh,
I
yes.
I do not have any medical school debt when I graduate from here.
Yes, please, and thank you.
Wow. Hell of a decision.
Yes.
Hell of a decision. what was the response of people around you?
Sorry.
Yep, I think you're going right there. Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually going to go with. Yeah, so graduation day, I remember I told my mom, I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about applying to med school in Cuba. And she was like, oh, okay. You know, and then a few months passed, and I actually started the process. And she was like, what are you working on? And I said, oh, my application to medical school in Cuba. She said, oh, I thought you were just kidding. And I was just like, you were serious? And I'm like, yeah, I was serious. And so initially people were shocked. I mean, which is fair because we're only told a few narratives, right, about what's really going on here. And I think some of those narratives are also, like, romanticized. You know, we talk about, like, the political, like, exiles and stuff like that. But when I actually took the time, you know, to explain to them, like, this is why I'm doing this, you know what I mean? And I had already planned to do a dual program anyway, so MD and PH. So I was like, if I could just get it, you know, already in one. And then, like I said, the icing on the cake was the scholarship. So it was just like, Mom, this is a sacrifice. So I'm going to be gone for a few more years, but what I will get from it will be so much more. But of course, this younger siblings, they didn't really understand. I think at the time they were like in fifth and sixth grade. So, I mean, when I first left, I left the house when I was 18 and they were really little. So my mom would tell them, oh, your sister's at a basketball game. And because they didn't understand.
So, come on, game.
It's a long ass game.
And I remember my little brother being like, and that's what my little brother said, like, Mommy, this is a long basketball game. Like, damn. So I'm like, I don't know how I'm about to explain to them I'm leaving the country. This is some new level shit because I'm the first in my family to ever, you know, do something like this. So I think people were nervous, a little bit scared, but I've always been very independent. And so they were supportive after I, you know, explain to them kind of my reason why.
Yeah. Wow. That's a bold, especially as a first. Because there's probably many firsts there. You might have been the first to leave the country. You might have been the first to go to a higher level education. So it's like real foreign territory. Where does that level of courage and vision come from? Or, you know, was Cassandra as a mentor a support? Like, where do you get the balls to do something like that?
That's a good question. Yeah, my mentor Cassandra definitely was supportive. I think because I was actually in a relationship at the time too. We had been together, I think, almost 4 years, so that was not the plan. But for me, it was just kind of like I had to remember my why. Like why I was really doing this. And I remember feeling really good throughout the entire application process. Like a part of the application process, you know, we had to talk about, we basically had to create our, like, talk about a medical issue that we were passionate about and how we plan to eradicate it, basically. So when I started writing it, I started really getting into it and being able to envision, like, oh, shit. Like, this is really happening. And so for me, it was just like, you know, I'm supposed to do it, you know? Yeah. Like, I was scared. Don't get me wrong, because back then, this would not be possible. There was no data. Like, you had to go to a Wi-Fi park to connect to internet. You know, phone calls are super expensive. So there was definitely some nervousness and fear there. I lost a lot of friends, you know, a lot of people that I grew up, you know, around. And so I think I was really committed to my why, you know. I knew, and it was actually interesting because I was working at a youth center and clinic in Bayview Hunters Point. And when I went for the orientation, or it was part of the interview process, and one of the interviewers asked me, you know, how are you going to be able to leave your community? You know, like, a lot of people have a really hard time with that, and then they end up going back home. And I told them, like, well, who am I to tell my students to believe in themselves and follow their dreams if I'm not doing it myself? You know? And so, but that was scary as shit, right? Because it's like, I have these connections with these people, especially working with my students and in a very vulnerable population, right, where people always leave. Abandonment is the issue, and you don't really want to connect with people because they always leave. And so it was just like, I kind of had to be, I had to practice what I was preaching. And so, yeah, I just
Wow. What's going through your mind right now?
I'm just so glad to hear you talking about the process and then for us to all see doing it scared. Because you said something so important. You said, when I was doing the application, it felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And that you acknowledge that, but this felt good. Because a lot of times when we talk about our community, we put to the side my best interest.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about community. But mm-hmm. what you said was when
and even
I was
family.
Yeah, even family. But mm-hmm. when you talked about going through the process, it felt good to me,
mm-hmm.
which was my indicator mm-hmm. that this is in my best interest. And I love that you mm-hmm. you went and embraced the unfamiliar, because how are we going to show our community mm-hmm. to get out of the familiar? Unless we see examples. Yeah. So I love everything that you said.
Everything. Literally.
Everything.
And it was crazy because too, at the time, I remember, especially with pre-med, right? It's like they have this thing where it just applies to as many schools, you know, as you, and that will take you. And I just remember looking at the mission statements. At first I was like, okay, I'm applying to all the schools in California, right? Mm. That's where my family is. So it's like, okay, I'll be close. I've been far long enough. And I remember looking at the mission statements and I'm like, oh, hell no. Like, none of this resonates with me.
Mm.
Like, how am I going to, you know, then you start thinking like, okay, you're serving the Black community, communities of color, but your medical students are not a reflection of that.
Right.
So I was super excited to not be the brown, you know, dot in the class anymore. So I was like, nah, mom, like, I gotta go. Like, this is really important to me. And so, yeah.
I think that that's a perfect segue into then what did you find
mm-hmm.
when you got there?
Oh, girl.
And I'm talking about really more so in relation to maybe what was the expectation that you had versus the reality mm-hmm. of what was there.
Yeah, well, the first thing that I immediately noticed is now I was an American. And I was just like, what? I was just like, you know, like, oh, it is Americana, like, you're American. I'm like, I'm from California, you know, like, because, you know, in the States,
right.
A little bit different, right? And then if you don't really leave your state, you just are, you know, sometimes just, what hood you from? That's just the reality of it, right? So it's like, oh, I'm American. And then there was always this undertone of, like, privilege. And I'm looking at these people like, you don't see what I look like? Like, I can't help that I was born in a country that, for example, I don't know, like the piping system is different. So I can flush toilet paper down the toilet. That's not privilege. That's just the reality of where I was born. But, you know, it was very complex. So I say that to say that was the first thing that I was not expecting. And I didn't really know how to process that because, again, this being the first time that I ever left the country, it was like, it was very wild. It was just like, what is that? You know, another thing, there are students here from all around the world. So I have classmates from Fiji, from different parts of the Caribbean, from Pakistan, from South America, from South America, from South Africa, from Namibia, like all over. And we're all coming together to speak a language that's not our native language.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Spanish. So, like, another thing is at that time I was very about meeting people where they are, because I'm like, I'm about to be a physician, you know, like I need to get familiar with this, right? I need to get intimate with this. But when you don't have language to fall back on, you don't understand nobody's culture.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't even know, like my gaze was all messed up because I'm like, you can't get offended by what people say because they might just be pronouncing something wrong. They might just be, you know, Spanish and English. You could literally translate the words, but the essence of it,
right?
You know what I mean? It doesn't always transfer over. And
right.
So that phrase, meeting people where they are, it was totally redefined for me. Like, it was totally like, oh, okay.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Because you got to know, where am I? Right? Where am I? Where am I with this?
Try to meet myself where the hell I am.
I'm trying to meet you, but where am I?
Right. Oh. That's real. And it took me a while to figure out like where I was, because you know, I'm the oldest of four. You know, my mom and I, we were like partners, you know, we worked together to make sure that everything was right. And so I used to really take pride in being able to be that person for people. And then it took me, you know, to get to a point where I was like, okay, Kayla, like, do you have anything left for you? Like, you're the person that's actually like here. You did just move over 2,000 miles away from home. Like, you did just a relationship that you didn't think was gonna end just ended. Like, all of these things, you know, had happened that I really didn't have enough time to actually sit with and unpack. So,
wow.
No, things show up at that point, right?
When the rubber meets the road. Yeah. Part of the conversation that we had was, and kind of moving back towards being Black in a Hispanic Latin country. Part of the conversation that we had was about some of the similar issues that you experienced as a Black woman, despite the fact that you are around brown people and living in a brown country. So you're no longer the brown dot, but yet there's still a disconnect. Talk about that.
With that, that's very interesting. I'm like, I'm trying to be careful of my word choice, but then I'm also like, just go and say it. So really, I guess it opened my eyes to the ways in which we, as people of color, like, perpetuate prejudice and racism. I mean, and it's not really, especially stateside, because it's, you know, white supremacy, right? It's like most spaces are filled with white people, and so you just kind of, especially in California, I think we're so somewhat like integrated. We already kind of know how to function, and we participate in it. But coming here, it was weird because, you know, the Black Americans that are here, we're not many. But I could see how Black American culture really influences the entire world. And so it was, but then it was like, oh, but you're American, so I can't really, like, you have all this privilege, and, you know, at the time, you know, 45, he was in office, so everybody felt like they could say things about that. So it was really weird because I was experiencing, like, I guess what we would call appropriation or these things, but it was from people who looked like me or who were part of, you know, the community of color. So it was very strange because I was just like, well, I'm all about accountability, and I'm all about, like, you know, I'm not going to repeat something that I know causes harm on other people. But like I said, it's like it's a complex situation because you have people who we don't speak the same language. You know, a lot of times we don't really understand each other. We are different ages. I came here at 25, and the majority of my classmates, I had a classmate that was 16.
Wow.
Because in other parts of the world, they don't have to go to undergrad like we do, right? So they go straight from high school to, you know, their career.
Wow.
And so I'm like, girl, you just started your period. Like, how can I even expect you to know how to have a difficult conversation?
Right.
You know, like, there's, like, certain things that just aren't going to be able to, it takes time. So I say that to say, it brought up a lot of different feelings for me. And I think especially recently, you know, with a lot of things being brought to the forefront and no one can kind of like hide behind the things that allowed us to pick and choose what we acknowledge or what we talk about.
Yeah.
It also showed up here. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, you can listen to our music and, you know, dress like me or do your hair like me or idolize this part of me, but when I actually show up as me, you don't want that.
Ooh.
And so it was very challenging, you know, because it's like I see these people every day. And I'm not gonna lie, I had a moment where I was like, I kind of miss white people.
Wow.
because at least I know what I'm dealing with.
I was going to say, you know, it's right? familiar.
Like for me, yeah. I know what I'm dealing with, and we don't have to pretend.
Right.
You know, I know when I walk in the room, the presence that I have. You know, I know you didn't, you're still shocked that I'm here. I mean, there was a girl, Asian chick that I was in school with, and every semester she looked shocked that I was in the class. Literally.
Like, bitch, I've been here for 2 years. You still surprised I'm walking in the goddamn door?
Graduation day. We were the first class to graduate from the Giant Stadium. And I remember walking up the stadium because we were being seated, and she saw me, and she was like, damn, I'm at least getting C's. Like, you can't just keep looking at me like this, like, every day. Like, damn, you know?
You still here?
Me, you know, like I said, it was something that now to be experiencing that with people who essentially look like me, but they're not from the States, you know, so from the different islands in the Caribbean, you know, also different parts of, you know, Africa. And then there are black people in like Central America and South America, like Colombians are black.
Yep.
You know, like all of these Latin countries, they're black. And so it's like, oh, wow, like black. It means different things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's kind of like, I think, yes. You know, Black American culture, it influences the masses. You know what I mean? So it was like, absolutely. Damn, you know, like I have Filipino homies that I grew up with that say, you know, speak like us or whatever. But I almost was like, I would prefer that because at least I know you grew up and kind of lived a similar reality to me.
Right.
Versus somebody who might appear the same, but you know nothing about, you know, how I grew up. So everybody is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch Power. They're watching Snowfall. These things. But I'm like, that was like Snowfall. Like, that was my family's like reality. Like, that shit's not funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that actually really affected a lot of people. So it's one of those things where it's kind of like, how do you hold space and share space for conversations with people that look like you, and even black, I would say too, black Americans from the States, the black communities in the States are different too.
Mm-hmm.
Black communities within California are the same as black communities in New York, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do you navigate that? And then experiencing situations where, you know, I'll say all skin folk
and kinfolk. You already know.
So it's just like,
yeah. Wow. What toll did that take on your well-being?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really hard because I started to question myself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of what I even understood about relationships, about communication, and really being able to meet people where they are. And again, it was like I was experiencing things that I experienced with non-Black people, but from Black people, when I was raised to level on and care for and embrace. So if you can imagine what that was doing, like, to the psyche, it was just like, wait. How am I supposed to, like, you know, like, be like, okay, we're in community, but this is not it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I eventually reached a point where I didn't really know who I was because so many people were trying to tell me who I was.
Wow.
And I almost believed them. Like, it got really deep to the point where, you know, and then, mind you, I'm in med school. Right, so I'm still having to study, like I'm still having to show up, and you know what I mean. And then also, so I'm in a system that is constantly evaluating you, and judging you. And then I'm trying not to evaluate and judge myself. That's some hard shit. Like that's
it's layered.
How do you do that? Yeah, it's layered. And so,
wow.
Yeah, it was really hard. I had an experience, I think it was my second year living here. I had, had lumps in my breast.
Mm.
And so I was super scared because I'm like, okay, well, I don't have insurance back home. How is this going to happen? Okay. Healthcare is free here, but I don't know if I really want to go and have to explain myself in Spanish right now. Cause at that point I had only been speaking Spanish maybe about 18 months, And here I am, I'm a grown-ass woman. I'm like 27 years old. It, you know, that's not, it doesn't equate. So at any rate, that was a huge scare. And even I ended up going back home and sitting in the ER for 9 hours. And even though I am, you know, a medical student and I had this language and I could advocate for myself, I still was not tended to. I still was not explained really like what the ultrasounds and all those things meant. Luckily, I understood the terms, but I'm like, you're still not telling me anything. And, oh, come back in 6 months. It's like, wait, what? So I had to really like stop and look at like the ways in which that I was participating in my own discomfort, my own pain, my own, I don't say demise, but essentially I was, you know, participating in this. And so that was kind of a wake up call for me because I had really got to a point where I was learning all these things about medicine. So I was like, ooh, I know how to like, you know, I know how much sleep I need. I know how much exercise I need. Okay, if I just drink this amount of water, like I kind of knew how to manipulate my body to get the results that I wanted to. But it still wasn't working. And so I had eventually reached a point where I had to try something new. I mean, even my journaling wasn't working. Things that I had been doing for years. My journaling wasn't working. My yoga wasn't working. Like working out, I was a college athlete. Like nothing that I grew up, you know, doing and even discovering in my early 20s, it worked. So I'm like, shit. Like, where? And now I'm in a country that barely has internet. How am I supposed to figure this out?
So what did you do?
So initially, I came up with this thing, it's called the earthquake kit. And so I pretty much, because I actually developed anxiety, like really bad anxiety. So I was just like, okay, Kayla, you have these different workouts that, I don't know, take from 10 to 15 to 30 minutes. And I literally designed this, like, I guess, kind of program for myself that, okay, if you've had this day and you're, okay, I'll say the first thing I did was become aware. I had to become aware of, like, this is what is happening, and let's look at how you're feeling, but then also the situation that you're currently in, right? Because I had school from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day. So I'm just like, okay, if the anxiety gets to be a little bit too bad or it manifests or shows up physically, I have these activities that I can do to help move it out, if that's what I need. You know, I also had to reevaluate my relationship with yoga. Because for a lot of time, for a long time, it was just, you know, like an area for me to relax. And I didn't really care that I didn't see any Black yoga instructors because at that time when I was introduced to it, that wasn't what I was going there for. So it was just kind of like, you know, I was going there to get this, you know, be in this environment and to relax and to unplug from the reality that I was living. But then that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. I had to really reevaluate that and take more time for myself, and be open to new ways of healing. And it was layered because I was just like, well, I've journaled all the time. Why is this not working? You know, like I work out all the time. Why is this, like, what is this thing that was still going on? So I think someone else had mentioned this in one of the other episodes, but becoming curious.
I think it was Sade.
Why, like, you know, what is this? And that really opened up the possibility for new things to come in. Another thing that I did is I had finally talked to my family, my friends about what I was going through. Because a lot of times I didn't want to do that because I didn't want them to worry. You know, I didn't want them to think that, you know, I didn't want them. It's very hard to imagine what something is like.
Yeah.
When you've never been there before.
Of course.
You know, you've never been to that place. You've never been in a situation. So it's like, okay, I need to be really careful about how I communicate this. But it worked out. You know, my family, they were just like, oh, damn, I didn't know you were going through all of these things.
There it is.
And so I allowed them to support me.
Yeah.
And they caught me. You know, my friends, they caught me. They nurtured me. And I felt so bad. Because it was so unfamiliar, right? Like, I'm the oldest, you know, like, I'm this alpha female, you know, I'm supposed to have it all together, and I'm the doctor, And so it was just like this layered experience of like, oh damn, like I actually, it's okay to ask for help, to need help, you know, and to reach out and allow like your community to help you. So.
Mm. Wow.
I definitely had some people that helped nurse me back to where I am now. Yeah. And where I needed to be able, because it was like, I'm not quitting.
Yeah.
There's no option. Like, you know, and it's so funny. My mom should probably listen to this later, but I remember when the first time I told her, she said, well, you know, you can always go home. And I'm like, Mom, that's not what you're supposed to say.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to say that. And so, yeah.
Yeah. That's, wow. Now that what you just said, that is a whole process. Right?
Yeah.
And guess what, y'all? You don't go through it one time.
And then done. Right.
That's the process that Kayla just laid out. That could be two times a day. That could be, you know, and I'm really loving that you said right? To be nursed back. And, you know, you're a doctor. So, you know, doctor, every great doctor has great nurses, right? We all joke about the fact that the nurses are the ones who do all the work, right? Where the doctor just gets to come in, oh, here's my brilliance. But it's the nurse, right, that does all that. And so I love the metaphor of you being, when you said I had some people and family that nursed me back to myself, right? Mm-hmm. And so I really love that takeaway that when you share your experience, more times than not, people are going to say, I didn't know, you know, and that thought that we can do it all by ourselves in a foreign country, in a different language, in a different culture, thousands of miles away from home. It's just phenomenal, you know.
In medical school,
you know, so yes.
Yes, wow.
I like that you said the part of it not being just one-time thing, because I was just trying to sit here and figure out, like, how can I answer this in the most concise way? Because this was, like, it was layered, you know what I mean? And it was just kind of like, damn, like, I thought I already dealt with this. And it was like, no, like, it's a little bit deeper. You got to go back. And so it's like how people say, you know, healing is not linear. That shit is real.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might have healed that part, but maybe there needs to be a little bit more attention, you know, that area. And so,
I love also, like, as we talk about the discussion topic, which was really around being open to new ways of healing, particularly in a foreign country or even in a foreign space in your life or in a foreign time in your life, that you may require, and you've talked about this with me, you may require different tools at different parts of your journey as it relates to your well-being, your self-care, your practices, right? That there may require a different anecdote for what you're experiencing, and that's okay. And so when you talked about, well, the journaling isn't working right now for me, right? And maybe that's something that works again later, but right now, this is not what it is. So being open, instead of being like, well, something's wrong with me because this journaling used to work and now it's not working anymore, instead saying, maybe I need something different.
Yes, and just to piggyback on
that.
And
being curious, right? Like she said.
Because we've had some great talks. Angie and I have had some great talks. And oftentimes, I think for our culture and as women of color, healing is the word. Healing. I have to go back and heal this. I'm still healing from this. But I have had a lot of talks with Angie where I'm like, my dear, this is expansion. This is new. You are not healing something old. You know, especially you. Graduating med school, because you're expanding. So I would, you know, encourage you to, sometimes when you think you're healing something or I still have to go back, get a little more curious and go, wait a minute, maybe I'm expanding. Maybe because when you learn a new culture, a new language, your brain is now open. Your brain just went from here to like here. That's not healing. That's called, I have to keep up with my expanded self. And let me tell y'all, sometimes that's very uncomfortable.
Yep.
The gap between where you stand and where you have expanded.
Oh, yes.
So
especially
a lot of times
it's
not healing.
In.
You don't have to look back. Sometimes it's, oh my gosh, it's that I've expanded so much forward. And that's what I'm trying to closed, not the past.
Mm-hmm. Oof, I love that. That's real, especially folks who are, I think I could call myself and you both visionaries, who are always sort of a little bit farther ahead or in the future. There is that gap, because you have so much space to grow into. And when you're throwing yourself into that with courage, doing it afraid, right? All of those things. So yeah, like you said, to sort of catch up to yourself, it requires maybe something different of you, or something that maybe you haven't experienced up to this point. So I love the flexibility, the openness, and the curiosity that calls for us, so that we can, find our center, find back our center, and then we expand again, right? And so there's that process that we talk about of like, and then you do it again, and then you do it again.
Yeah.
So I think for what, part of what I have heard, and just something I want to emphasize again, is just that sometimes people have said, oh, well, the yoga's not helping, or it's not working, or that certain things aren't working. And so I just want to go back to just emphasizing the importance of just being curious and open about, okay, well, if yoga's not it for me right now, maybe running, maybe going to the gym, or maybe Tai Chi, who knows, right? But like, just being open to something new and different, versus saying, oh shit, what I've always fallen back on isn't working right now.
And so therefore something's wrong with me.
Right.
Like you're in a new state of being.
And that's the thing. I had to look at how I was relating to those things that I was using. Because like I said, my relationship to yoga in the beginning was just like, I mean, in the very beginning, I tore my ACL, in a college basketball game. So for me, it was like a part of rehab. There was no type of spiritual, emotional, mental part attached to it. And really being able to see like, okay, damn, like what are the stories I'm telling myself about myself? Mm-hmm. I think as Black women too, a lot of times we pride ourselves in being strong and I can do it and all these things. And I would say like, yeah, I meet people where they are. And I start saying it so damn much that it was like, well, no wonder why you're getting in these situations where you have to meet these people where they are, but they don't have to meet you where you are.
Come on.
Woo!
Come on.
And then even, I would be like, oh, I'm a communicator. Oh yeah, I'm an over-communicator. And I had this epiphany like a year ago, like, well, damn, no one has to communicate with you because you always communicate everything.
Wow.
No wonder why you're tired. No wonder why, and I had to that really resonates. Like, the focus was no longer on other people. It was like, oh, how am I participating in this shit? But then also being like, you know what? I'm not going to beat myself up. I had to do that for a part of my journey, because a part of my journey was survival.
Right.
You know, there were times where an over-communicator probably saved me
from
shit.
Yes.
But now it's like, I don't have to do that
anymore.
Come
on. Come on, Kayla. Teach him.
Come on.
The biggest thing, and so, yeah, I mean, Andy, you and I have talked about this before, like the non-traditional way of doing things. And that's why for me with medicine, it's like, oh, yeah, nah, like this needs to be, there needs to be a switch. You know, a lot of people are comfortable. A lot of times we can focus on, especially now, like, oh, white supremacy, oh, anti-racism. But it's like, well, who are we without that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who am I without my suffering? Who am I when I'm not reacting or responding to something that is oppressing? And so I'm like, I don't want to create when I'm thinking about like, okay, what is it that the community needs? It's kind of like, a lot of times I feel like things are created in opposition to white supremacy. And I'm like, well, that's not our shit anyway.
Yeah,
facts.
Racism is not our shit anyways. So, I like to describe them, they're just some haters. You know, what does a hating ass person do when they want to be you? Well, they try to do everything they can to keep you down.
That's it.
So that ain't none of my business.
Right. Like Sade said, I'm not going to waste my time on those motherfuckers. I'd rather make myself great.
Yes! let's have a Sade moment because
we need to put it on a t-shirt.
Because I didn't make this up.
We got to for real.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what,
that
Kayla?
Spoke to me so much.
And I really love that what you acknowledged was that, you know, at one point in time, that survival mechanism and that over communicating and that I have to be the alpha female and I was proud in my ego, you realize that that really was born out of necessity.
Yes.
You know, your nature, you are a leader. Your nature is you are directive. You delegate well. But I love how you said that would, at one point in time, that served a function and purpose.
Come on.
And you're okay to put it down now.
Because the truth is, it's not serving me anymore.
Now.
Right now.
In this moment, that's not serving me.
Right.
So I love
that. Sometimes it looks like what I realized is like, okay, the complexity of it, right? So as a student doctor, you know, a physician in training, some of these things I need to be able to do.
Yes. Yeah.
And for me in this space, it doesn't feel like work. I can do it.
Yeah.
But in my personal life, hell no.
You can take it off.
I gotta communicate all damn day. I gotta make sure my patients know, you know what I'm saying? I'm meeting them where they are. You know, they're depending on me and relying on me. But in my friendships, you know, in my romantic relationships, you know, and even amongst colleagues, it's like, no, there needs to be a balance. And so
I'm not going to do all the work.
That was something that I think I'm still kind of working on. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I totally relate.
Especially, I'm not getting paid to do it.
Come on.
Well, there's that.
Like, let somebody else put some effort in, right?
Yeah.
And I feel that.
Yeah.
I want to open up for questions. So if y'all have questions for Kayla.
In Cuba. Kayla, who's in Cuba. By way of the bay.
Drop them in the chat.
Wow.
Woo! What are you most enjoying about your time there?
What am I most enjoying? That's a good question. What am I most enjoying?
Other than maybe the hotties that's running around.
Wow.
That's all I thought of in my head. I was like, ooh, what's it really like out there?
Right? We know they got some hip work.
We're planning a tour, so light them up for me.
California, we're really spoiled, so I don't know about
that. Ooh, okay. All right.
Oh, well.
Because, bitch, I'm not American. I'm Californian. And I stay true to that.
Right? I'm Californian. What are you?
And I had to, you know what? This is a side note. It was so funny because I had a friend who came to visit me. And she's from Oakland, right? So she's from Oakland, born and raised. So she came here in 2018, and our birthdays are literally like a day apart. So we went to this place called Fabrica to, like, you know, celebrate, hang out. And some of my classmates went too. And we, you know, the Cali vibes, the way we talk, and, you know, when the song, when music comes on, the elbows come out.
Hey!
Right?
Elbows
come out. Oh, my God, you know? And I was just like, what? And they're like, she's you. And I'm like, exactly. Like, you can't just put... You know, because we're all Black Americans. It's like, no, we have different experiences. We relate differently. So it was just so funny. And I was like, oh, if there were just more people from California here right now, you know, maybe that would be a different experience. I don't know. I think I would say what I'm enjoying the most is really the opportunity to get to know myself more. And to really, like, remember myself, like what I already have within me, because I was actually thinking about this the other day. You know, like, the program here is 7 years, med school in the States is 4, maybe 5, and I was just kind of like, you know, oh, like, this is just so hard, like, especially during these times. And then I had to stop and say, well, damn, like, if I went to medical school in the States, like, yeah, I would still be a doctor, like, I'm pretty sure I would still be a good doctor, but would I have been, I'm going to use your word, Nicole, expanded in the way that I've been.
Mm-hmm.
When I've had the opportunity to, you know, like I've shared on my Instagram, how I get to go to my patient's house every day and speak with them. And it's not just like this barrier of, oh, you know, med student or doctor. It's like, we're all here in this struggle together.
Yeah.
So the humility of that. Mm-hmm. And so the compassion that shows up, but it's like it always kind of is a mirror to how compassionate and kind and patient I'm being with myself.
Yes. Come on.
Yes.
Direct reflection.
So I guess the mirroring experience. Yeah, the mirroring experience. And to be in awareness of that, not to be so distracted, you know what I mean, all the time, because it's pretty slow living here, you know? It's like you walk, I will walk somewhere 30 minutes here, no problem. As soon as I land in the Bay or in LA, I'm not walking anywhere.
Correct.
I'm like, where's the Uber? You know, where is Lyft? Like, I'm like, we about to get on this muni, you know what I mean? And it's like, wow, Taylor, you actually do a lot more, but it's slower. So I'm able to take it in differently, digest it differently. And then it allows me to see how that can be transferred to other people.
I love that. So, slow living has been one of the themes as well from a couple podcast episodes back with Ruthie. In Stockholm. And I've just really loved that. And it's something I'm certainly leaning into. And I think that in another country, it's often easier to do because everything is so unfamiliar that you have to take your time with it. And especially for you with the language, right? Even you may be even talking slower or asking people to slow down talking to you, because I know Cubans speak fast and they ain't got no S's in their language. They drop all the S's. So you like, huh? But... But yeah, I love that so much. In how 2,000 miles away from home, you're finding yourself.
Yes.
That is
again amazing. And again and again, you're finding yourself. You know how you talked about the mirror, and we talked about, well, I'm asking people, I'm trying to meet people where they are, but where am I? Mm-hmm. And I love that for me, because as you said, the biggest takeaway, I think, is the gratitude that it gets so uncomfortable, because if it never got uncomfortable, we would never change.
Come on.
And then you would constantly be trying to give to others something we're not even giving to ourselves.
Come on.
So when people say, oh, you know, you got to know your worth, you got to know your value. Well, how can I do that unless I'm giving to myself what I'm giving to others? Yeah. And that's what I hear in you. Mm-hmm. I think that's what your smile, your eyes. I see someone who says, no, I know that if I don't give it to myself, the consequence of that. And so I think you're going to be, I think you are, and you're going to continue to be a phenomenal provider because you know the value of what you give.
And taking care of self.
Yes.
That is a priority and a necessity
and
in
you
order.
Will communicate that to them, right? Because people want to know that, you know, you have shared experience with them.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Tell us what you have coming up. Kayla just graduated the fifth round of Decolonize Your Teaching Mentorship Program.
Congratulations.
Recently graduated yoga teacher training as well. She is just doing it. She is such a force. Before we get to this, I want to answer Dr. White's question. Kayla, have you had a moment to realize the legacy you are creating even to your little siblings?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Great question.
During those moments of reflection, those quiet time moments, you know, during meditation, and sometimes I just kind of sit like, damn, I asked for this. I said I would do it, and I'm doing it. It's still all surreal. It really is. Just, I mean, even... I'm getting chills even like answering this question, because it's kind of like, you know, growing up, you know, in a Black body in the States, it's like we hardly ever see what we want to be. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of what we don't want, and it's like, how do you go into some shit you don't know?
Yeah.
So in the moments when I'm reflecting, I'm like, wow, like this is really, I'm doing this shit and building. And so I guess to tie into what you were saying, Angie, with, you know, just finishing DYT, like even thinking about a brand, like now I'm a certified yoga instructor, like a yoga teacher. And it's just like everything that I've kind of like, once I've allowed myself to put down what a Black woman is supposed to be, I was able to receive what Kayla is supposed to be. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
What I'm supposed to be doing. Because I know someone mentioned about, you know, there not being competition, but girl, medical school is competitive as shit. Mm-hmm. Everybody is trying to be the best, and I had to just realize I just need to be me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just need to be me.
Full proof.
And if I'm not staying true to who I am, then I'm not going to be good for anybody.
Yeah,
you know, and it was definitely not always like this. It was not. I would have hard days, and it's so funny because I think you also, in a part of it, you get to this point where it's like, why can't anyone see what I'm going through? Like, why isn't anyone else trying to be there for me? Because there would be days where I'd wake up and I'm like, okay, first, I got to get over my own shit. I didn't want to get up this morning. Now I got to get up. Then, you know, living in the dorms, it's like, is there water? We got to wait for somebody to turn the water on.
Wow.
It's cold. There's no hot water. Mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
Cats. Then you have people speaking another language, you know, and as a Black person, you know, Black American, it's like, we have totally different codes, right? If somebody's staring at you longer than a couple seconds, you like, we got a problem?
Right.
We got different codes.
We do. We really do.
Like, you gotta, like, you know, so I'm like, Kayla, don't do that. You're not at home. Don't.
Yes.
You don't have to move like that. So I say all that to say, it's like, there's so many times where we have to get over ourselves. And so it's like, well, you know what? Before we meet other people where they are. So it's like, let me just pull back. Become more intimate with myself, with my own practice, with how I value myself, the things that matter to me, and really who I am. So that when someone tries to come and tell me who I am, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Because I already know.
That's it.
And mm-hmm. not in a cocky way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, now, yeah.
I've really worked through this shit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
There's another question in here. How has your view on yoga changed over time, and how do you now incorporate this new view into your living and in med school?
Yeah, so my view on yoga has changed tremendously because really yoga gets to be what you want it to be.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and I think that is what is difficult about setting in motion a different narrative for the Black community, because we have these fixed images of what things should look like.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, you know, the way that the system works stateside anyways, I think around the world, it's like, oh, things should look like this.
Yep.
But really, it's about how you feel in your body, you know, in that moment in time. Because for me, I would, before that, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm this athlete. I can do this. I'm going to hold this pose. I'm going to hold this plank. You know, I'm going to hit this chaturanga. Da, da. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that all the things, right? And then I got to a point where I'm like, well, what does it look like if I just drop that back knee? What does it look like if I just get this block? What does it look like when I allow myself to be supported?
Come on.
So it just... And it just has it's just like transferred over to other areas of my life, you know, not being afraid to ask for help. The worst thing they can say is no. You know, not being afraid to speak my truth, to live in my truth.
Yes.
Be intimate with my truth. And yoga has really revealed that it's a moment by moment, breath by breath thing. But at the end of the day, I get to choose to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
And how you show up.
I'm like, I gotta put these people on, and how you show up, you know? Like, sometimes, yeah, you might need a restorative, but other times, we might need to push a little bit, you mm-hmm. know? Because that anxiety or those blockages, we gotta push that out. And there is a connection between the spiritual and the physical, you know, the spiritual self and the physiological self. So
absolutely.
Sometimes it's not gonna always look like a bunch of blocks and stuff and we going to sleep. Sometimes I might kick your ass a little bit.
mm-hmm.
So we could sweat and you could push that energy out, because times are hard, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I think to be able to acknowledge that you get to define it, and then to be a person to facilitate that, oh, that's gold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's gold.
That is gold.
Absolutely.
That is gold.
Woo!
That is gold. that is gold.
Nicole's amazing.
That is gold.
It really is.
It really is. That is gold.
This whole conversation has been gold.
Yes.
Wow. So many amazing pieces to this conversation. But I think that what I heard so loud and clear was I am rooted in myself. Mm-hmm. And from there, everything unfolds.
And
it hasn't always,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, and for the people listening, it hasn't always been like this.
Right.
So it's like, it's one of the things where it's like, well, I think, Nicole, you said it earlier, like the distance between where I was and where I'm trying to go. And it's just kind of like the most important thing is being in that awareness of like, I don't have to always be here in this space, mm-hmm. you know, and expanding and growing and to reach where I want to be. So.
And it's hard, but, you know, I often have to thank that expanded self for going ahead of me, because I can get lonely. I can feel like I thought I knew what I was doing, and now I don't. So I struggle with disappointment. Nicole's big arch nemesis, my kryptonite, is disappointment. Mm. And so when my expanded self goes ahead of me and I'm not there, I will feel a sense of disappointment. Mm. And so I have to then begin to thank her. Like, wow, like when you go ahead of me, what you're basically telling me is, come on, the path is clear. Yeah. I'm here. This is our new level of perception, understanding, goals, desires. So if I am here, then you are here. Mm-hmm. And so I have to stop and thank her that she doesn't stay exactly where I'm at.
And truth be told, something about there's something within you that deeply wants to go to that place.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the reality too, is that there's something within me that really wants to experience this place I'm going towards.
You couldn't feel this bad. You could not feel this bad if it didn't matter to you. I try to remind myself that I couldn't feel this bad if it didn't matter to me. Mm. So just tell the truth about a thing. It matters to me. It matters that I'm at the top of my class. It matters
that
I get noticed. It matters that people are watching my content. It matters that people are sharing me. Just tell the truth about a thing. It matters to me. It matters to me.
And then a weight comes off when
and
you
the
do
things
that.
That you mentioned too. Yeah, definitely. And the thing that I realized too, and I was just talking with one of my best friends about this, because she's also in medical school, is like, who created this system that we're measuring ourselves up to anyway?
Come on, yeah. Right.
So I'm on here stressing myself out, and I didn't even create this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, especially, like, some days, like, I've shadowed some positions, you know, been a part of, you know, different rounds and stuff, and you have people going around talking, like, do you know? No, I don't know. Do you know? We work together. So I'm like, you mean to tell me y'all done went through med school, residency, you still don't know? Okay. Well, hey, this is the human side of medicine that nobody gets to see. Like, doctors are people too.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And nurses and healthcare providers are people also. And we forget shit and we have bad days. And so it's just like, let me, again, bring that compassion back to myself.
Yes.
No, I wasn't on my shit today, but now I know, okay, I need to do this. And it's like a constant reminder in a larger system that doesn't even set that, hold that space for you, but even encourage it.
Come
it
on,
actually
yeah.
tells you, no, that's not it. That's not it. You need to be looking at other people. You need to be measuring up to this in order to be successful. And so it's like, no, okay, you know, attending, you got me today. I didn't know that medication, but tomorrow you're going to get me again, you know, or when it matters, I'm going to show up and do what I need to do. So,
yeah
just having that grace and being open to new ways of healing,
great.
Just came back to full circle.
Yeah. I believe it's called practicing medicine.
Come on.
I believe it's called practicing medicine. There's no arrival. There's no arrival.
No. Kayla, tell us what's coming up next for you.
Yeah, it doesn't just show up with the white coat.
Right. Tell us what's coming up for you, what you're working on, and how people can connect.
Yeah, so what's coming up for me, so like I shared earlier, recently certified yoga teacher, so I've been working on some things for the community, you know, creating classes. I feel like a lot of Black men have not not really been included. Some Black men that I know, you know, kind of feel left behind in the whole wellness movement. And so that's really like my focus right now, because we need our brothers too.
Yes.
Sure do. And so, yeah, so in creating some yoga classes, you know, yoga classes for Black men and also their kids, or, you know, brothers, nieces, nephews also. But yeah, I'm also in the midst of creating an online wellness studio. I'm going to be that doctor you guys see. I come to your door, but since I'm in Cuba, I'll be sliding your DMs.
Come on.
Or being on the nearest screen.
Yes.
Near you. So it's like you will have access to that. So to yoga classes, to also, you know, thinking of ways to equip the community with what they need to be able to advocate for themselves, you know. Yes. So different things you might need to know as far as like healthcare checkup or health checkups, you know, blood work, you know, especially how to navigate a system with COVID right now, you know. So kind of providing people with information so that they can know their baseline, so that they can be in awareness when something is off, and then have the tools to be able to advocate for themselves when they need to go, you know, to the doctor or to ask for help. So
I love that.
You guys can find me at my new IG handle at The People's MD.
Yes.
And yeah, so keep a lookout. Like I'm super excited. It's always been this like, oh, I have to wait till I get home to do these things, and now it's like, oh, I can still be of service where I am.
Absolutely.
So
and you have been of great service to us today and to our community.
Yes.
And we thank you for that. This has been an awesome, awesome, awesome discussion. Thank you so much, Kayla, for taking the time to be with us and to share with us your story, your experience. This transparency and honesty really, really helps us see ourselves in so many ways and reflected in you. So I believe that people will get a lot out of this conversation, and I thank you for that. I know I sure did.
Yeah. That was phenomenal.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, y'all. So if you haven't already, when you get off of here, when you stop listening to podcasts, find Kayla on Instagram at The People's MD, and continue to follow her work and her journey and support her.
Yes.
Love awesome. You, Kayla.
Appreciate you.
I really love you too. Thank you.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.